podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
Louis asked me a couple weeks ago to speak today on prayer and fasting. I'm probably not going to speak a whole lot on fasting, but mostly on prayer. That'll bring me luck, okay. I'll use that. Get my water out here and my glasses because I can't see without my glasses. Hope rising. It's Easter. We're supposed to be having hope rising, looking forward to the anticipation of Jesus dying for our sins and that he will raise from the grave. I have lots to talk about, actually. And I'm a little unconventional today. I have no shoes on. I took them off. I tend to be a person where I have lots of stories, lots of analogies. So I can talk for 3 hours and understand that really I'm an introvert. I don't like talking that much, but I force myself to, and I believe that God is leading me to talk to people more and more. I'm more of a list person, and that's easy. You give me a list, and I'll go right down the list and do that. But to be relational and have coffee with somebody and sit down and talk is a difficulty for me. But it's something I'm working on. I'm believing God is changing me on that. So today I could either talk for 20 minutes or maybe for several hours. I'll try to get everybody out by noon, and I will. Can we go to the next? Well, I forgot about this one. Okay, season of Lent. Louis talked about reflection, self-denial, repentance. I'm going to talk about prayer and fasting. Next week, he's going to talk about giving. And then on Easter, he's going to talk about Resurrection Sunday. This is one of my favorite scriptures lately. It's out of Revelations 12:11. They triumphed over the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. The word of their testimony. Louis asked me to share some of my testimony of what God's been doing in my life lately. And I like to talk, but I don't like to tell everybody everything. And he said, no, I want you to tell you what God's been doing in your life. I've been a Christian since 1984, always sought out after the Lord. And the last 2 years, I've been running after him. It's not always been easy, and I have my ups and downs, just like everything, but the last 2 years I've been running, maybe more so this last 6 months. It says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. It says, seek me with all your heart, and you will find me. And I've been trying to do that, the best of my ability, to seek him out, and God has been faithful. He's been speaking to me, and this is some of the things that Louis wanted me to share, and it's really hard to share and talk about myself. He's been talking to me so much. There are times I've told Louis that I'm sitting out there taking notes, and Louis's talking about apples, and the Lord's talking to me about oranges. And I'm taking notes, and I'm thinking of scripture, and I'm thinking of this analogy and that analogy, and I can't get it all in. I cannot absorb it in. And so they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. One of the things I'm going to talk about is prayer and how prayer is really a relationship with Jesus. We all have our time of prayer and reading in the mornings. But we need to have more than that. We need to be seeking God out with everything that we have. This scripture up on the top, I'll go through it real quick. I may not cover the whole thing. Out of Matthew 26 and 37, then Jesus went with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Next. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not your will, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? And he asked Peter, watch and pray that so you will not fall in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink from it, may your will be done. When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were so heavy. He left them and went away and once more prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and looking at them, are you still sleeping? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of sinners. Okay. Three times he told them to pray, and each time they came back sleeping. Three times. Shortly after this, the Roman soldiers show up along with the religious leaders. They go to take Jesus away. Peter cuts off the ear of the high priest. The disciples scatter. Later on, Peter denies Jesus three times. Now, is it possible that if they hadn't been sleeping, if they had been praying, that maybe they wouldn't have scattered? Maybe they would have figured out what was going on because they'd been in the Word. They'd been in a relationship with Him. They spent all this time for the last 3 years with Jesus and yet did not always understand what they were saying. And He told them to pray three times and they went back and fell asleep. Let's go on to the next one. And I'm going to jump around a little bit, but I'm going to tie it all together. Fasting. It says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces and show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. So he says, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. He says, when you fast. Now, I'm just going to hit a little bit on fasting. Fasting is just giving something up. And a lot of times we fast food. Sometimes it's a meal. Sometimes you can fast. You can fast whatever you want. Beginning of the year, I fasted Facebook and I think it was Instagram. I gave up Instagram altogether. But I fasted Facebook. So whenever I wanted to get on Facebook, I spent that time in prayer instead. You can fast as often as you want. I'm not here to tell you when to fast. It says when you fast. So I'm assuming we all need to fast. We need to fast that time because we need to spend that time with Jesus. We need to take that extra time that you give something up and spend that time with Jesus. Part of the stories I want to tell is that one of our sons went to Cambodia. He goes to church in Las Vegas, and he went to Cambodia with a missions trip about a month ago, I guess. And they went over there to minister to kids that had been rescued from sex slavery over there. And so he calls us back on Friday night. He was supposed to fly back Saturday, their time, be here Saturday, our time, in Vegas, then fly up here, and he was going to work here in town. He calls us and says, Mom, I'm stuck. One of the girls had her passport stolen, and I'm going to stay with them. And we didn't know at that time that somebody else, another gentleman, was going to stay, but he goes, I'm not going to be home for several days. We cannot get to the embassy until Monday. We have to wait till then. Then we have to get her a new passport, and then we need to get her an exit visa, which could take up to 5 days. And so as the story goes on, I knew right then that I needed to fast. And I had decided in my head that I wasn't going to eat, only drink until he got back on the plane. At that time, we didn't know how safe he was or wasn't, and we just started praying. We were actually at a Bible study, and we prayed as a group. Things as a parent run through your head saying, thinking, well, you know, this is people that are ministering to sex, people that have been rescued from sex slaves. And so you don't know if they targeted this girl and they were trying to see if she would get left behind or if they were going to mug my son and the other guy and take their money and then take the girl. All these things run through your mind and you don't know what's going on. So we went to prayer. Well, the next morning my wife gets up and she says, we need to fast and pray. So she committed to fasting until he got back in the United States. And so we spent a fair amount of time in prayer. And I should have told you another story first, but I'll skip that. Hold that there. I'm going to be unconventional. I'm going to put a comma there. A friend of ours who's a pastor had a couple heart attacks. And it was about a week or two before that. And we've been good friends with him for years. And he was texting Louis. His son was texting Louis about the progress and what was going on. And there was late one night, we got a text from Louis that says, from his son, that says, "Dad's not doing well. His O2 levels are going down. And he's going down fast. Please pray." So Louis texted me, and I grabbed my wife, and we prayed for this pastor here in town. And at that time, I thought, I need to pray some more. So I went upstairs and got down on my knees and started praying. And, you know, you pray all the things that you think you're supposed to pray for the doctor, for wisdom, all the, I don't want to say silly things, but the things, first things come to your mind. And it's like, "Lord, I need to pray more. What would you have me to do? What would you have me to pray? Would you have me to pray all night for a man's life who's in the balance tonight, that he could be passing away?" You know, and I don't know all the details, but that was on my heart. Would you have me to pray all night? And then you start thinking, if I pray all night, will I be able to go to work in the morning? And of course, we're praying for a guy's life, but I'm worried about going to work. And Lord, if I go to work, will you sustain me? Or Lord, would you have me to call in tomorrow? And I said, "Lord, I'll pray as long as you would have me to pray. If it's all night, I commit to praying all night. Don't know how I'll do it. I don't know how I'll stay awake. But I'll commit to prayer tonight." So I started praying, and the Lord showed me some things to pray, and I prayed in the Spirit. I only prayed maybe 20, 25 minutes, and then I felt released that I didn't have to pray all night. Thank God, because I've never had to do it. I've never done it. But it was something that I was committed my heart to seeking God out with all that I have for this pastor. He ended up getting better. Praise God. So I'll go back to the other story about my son who's stuck in Cambodia, because I should have done the other one first. But that's all right. It'll work out. So he's in Cambodia. We find out over the weekend that they're relatively safe, but it's, you know, still Cambodia and still in a place they don't want to be. They want to be home. They go to the embassy on Monday. They get the passport. And then the next day they get the visa. Of course, they have to bribe the police over the weekend to take a police report. They said get there early in the morning because in the afternoon they're drunk. So they get there in the morning and they're sleeping on cots, but they bribe them to take a report so they could go to the embassy. They get the passport. They have to go to the airport to get the exit visa. They have to pay again, try to get it expedited. And, you know, when we're talking bribes, we're talking $5 and $50, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a lot to them. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, I think it was Tuesday morning, he texts me, said, "Dad, please pray. Please pray, Dad, that we get a flight so we can get out of here." Part of the reason he wanted out of there was because he'd been FaceTiming us the night before. He says, "I'm tired of seeing pedophiles everywhere I go," that his heart was broken. He says, "Everywhere we go, there's pedophiles, Dad." And it made him sick. He was breaking down. So he texts me and says, "Dad, please pray that we can get flights. We're on the way back to the hotel to get flights, try to get flights." So I'm laying in bed and text back, "I'll pray." And I pray for a few minutes and I fall asleep. And I wake up and I pray a little bit more. And I fall asleep, and I get out of bed and get down on my knees, and I pray, and I get back in bed, and I fall asleep. I couldn't pray. What I had learned the week before to pray for this other pastor and say, "Lord, I'll commit myself to praying all night," I was failing this time of my own son, not being able to spend whatever time God had called me to pray. Now, whether or not he wanted me to pray all night or whatever, I should have been praying at least for my own son that I love the most, along with my other two kids. One of them's here, so I had to throw that in. I love all my kids. But I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't tarry 1 hour. I could not tarry 1 hour. And I felt like I had failed. Just couldn't do it. Now, story is that they ended up getting their tickets and they got out and they were home within a day or two by then. But it's the point that we go from times of seeking God out, hearing what he has to say, then a week later, a failing. At least I felt like a failure. felt much not much different than the disciples of failing that they couldn't pray with Jesus, that they may have overcome the temptation. Most of you know that I like to redo furniture. And so I redo furniture and I sell it on Facebook or different places around town on Craigslist and those types of things. So I had this trunk that I had done and it didn't really look that great. I put it on Facebook and somebody made a comment right away. Why, you know, and it was kind of derogatory. It wasn't really nasty, but it was like, why would you do it those colors? It looks like this, this, and this, and this. And I saw the name and it was somebody I knew. They didn't know who I was because I'm friends with the whole family, but I'm kind of insignificant in that aspect of it. I'm friends with his in-laws and their kids and all that. And I'm thinking, you don't know who I am. You don't know who I am. You don't know that I prayed for your kid when he had cancer. You don't know that I prayed for your father-in-law the other night, that I spent hours praying. And the Holy Spirit says, did you? Did you really? And it's like, no, Lord, I didn't. I did pray for the boy with other people from church years ago. I spent 20 minutes praying for his father-in-law. But the self-righteousness was that I prayed hours. It's like, no, you didn't. And it's the point that I'm trying to make with this is that we need to pray as long as it takes, no matter whatever it is, that for a time that maybe it's tonight that I need to pray, and then maybe it is all night, if that's what God would have me to do. And maybe it's for years, and it's not maybe constantly for years, but that we grab onto it, and we pray. We pray in the Spirit. We pray whatever God leads us to do to pray. And it may be years that you're praying for people, but you never give up. You never give up. We pray as long as it takes. In James, it says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we don't give up. We pray and fast. We seek God out. My other story slips in my mind. One of the things that prayer does is it brings us closer to Jesus because we're talking to him face to face. We're spending that time. Let's go to the next one. Let's go one more. Sorry. That one. Reservation with Jesus. And talk about that. When was the last time you made a reservation with Jesus? I mean, seriously, when was the last time? I'm not talking about the morning when you get up, if you pray and read in the morning. I'm not talking about if you get on your knees and pray at night. I'm talking about when did you take the last time to say, I'm going to meet you tomorrow at lunch. I'm going to give up my lunch. I'm going to fast my lunch and not eat and meet with Jesus. We don't do that. Why? When I was dating my wife 36 years ago or longer, we were going to school and I would meet her at her apartment for lunch because I had that short little window to meet with her because I loved her. I wanted to look in her eyes and we'd sit there and have lunch and watch all my children. That got addicting though after a while. Or I would, years later, I would drive across town and maybe get to spend 15, 20 minutes with her because I wanted to be with her because I loved her. When was the last time we made a reservation with Jesus that we took a day that I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray? Men's camp is a perfect example. You take that time, you go and you say, I'm going to spend this weekend with people that love Jesus. I'm going to go and spend this weekend and seek God out, what God has to say. And he'll speak. He'll speak. My daughter reminded me this morning that when we were in Disneyland last week, that my granddaughter, who's 8 months, we were in, I guess, one of the rides. I don't remember. And she had her hand out. And she had rain or water that dripped on her hand. So when we'd go to different rides, she'd put her hand out for the next 2-3 days. She'd put her hand out looking for that water. In anticipation. And we need to go with anticipation, seeking Jesus out. When we go with anticipation, with open hands, waiting for that water to hit, it'll come. It'll come. She didn't know any different. She's 8 months. She kept putting her hand out every ride. Every time she turned around, you'd call her, and she put her hand out, waiting for that water to come. We needed to be doing the same thing, seeking that out, that we seek out God so much that our hands are always open. We need to seek out the relationships with Jesus, that we go deeper and deeper. Part of our reason for going to Disneyland was some good friends of ours that we've been friends with since about 1990 or so. They only lived here about 4 years, moved to Atlanta. And so they moved in like 96, but we've been good friends ever since. One of their kids lives in Colorado, and they were going to Disneyland. My wife and daughter said, well, we haven't seen everybody. We want to go. And one after another, all the families get together, and our friends are flying out from Georgia, and we're all meeting at Disneyland. Well, Disneyland's fun, but it's not a place to have a relationship. It's not. Because you're on a fast pass, that I didn't mean to put that in, but yeah, we had lots of fast passes. But you're on a fast track to try to get as many rides as you can get in. It's not relational. Not one time did I tell my best friend Brian, let's go to lunch, let's go sit down for an hour and talk about what really matters. We talked a little bit at dinner. We talked a little bit here and there. But with 18 of us running around, and we had a great time, don't get me wrong. But I did not take that time to sit down and say, make a reservation with Jesus or make a reservation with our friends. It was all shallow relationships, except for a few minor little things. And it's disappointing because I took 7 days off from work. Well, not quite that many, but... but you know what I mean? You go there and it's shallow. And without praying and seeking God, it's shallow. Everybody, for the most part, knows I like analogies and stories and little things to show. Last night, we got home and we're putting stuff away, and I'm wearing a pretty new pair of pants, not a very good expensive pair or anything. Not expensive at all. They were at Costco, $12.99 a pair of those jeans. And I'm walking past this antique trunk we have, and I had a little tear right here. And it's like, I can't believe I tore those pants. You know, they're pretty new. Is that okay? They moved. Can you hear me still? Sorry. And so I had this little tiny tear in my pants. And I didn't think much of it until I woke up in the middle of the night, and I don't know if I was dreaming or thinking, and the Lord showed me that that little tear was a little bit of a sacrifice that I had made during the week to spend time with him. That little tiny tear, it wasn't much at all. It was on a cheap pair of pants, a little tiny tear. And part of the story that I was going to talk about is about prayer, is that I've looked in my closet. None of my pants have worn out knees. None of my pajamas have worn out knees. Not one. Which tells me I don't pray enough. I don't. But I had a little tiny tear on these, and I was worried about that little tear. Church history tells us that James, the brother of Jesus, was called camel knees because he spent so much time on his knees. Which tells me something, that he was close to the Lord. I'm not telling you that you have to pray for an hour. I'm not telling you how much you have to fast. But what I'm saying is that I want you to seek out the Lord as much as you can. My desire is that I know Jesus, and I know him deeper than I know him now. My desire is that our body knows him more, that we seek him out more. One of the issues that I had a couple weeks ago sitting in church, and Louis was up here talking, and he had on a faded pair of pants that, you know, are fashionable now, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't have an analogy yet. What do I do? And I saw his pants, and I thought, okay, I know what it is. And I thought, okay, I'll go to Costco and buy a $12.99 pair of pants. And he says, no, it has to cost you. Has to cost you something. I said, okay, I'll go buy a pair of Wranglers or a pair of Levi's. So I went out that afternoon and went to a store, and on the rack, there's one pair of pants, these. They're brand new. This is the first time I've worn them. They had one pair that fit my size. And he says, buy those. And right next to that is another pair that, one pair that was Levi's or Wranglers. They had another pair that was an off-brand. It was something fancy, something that I wouldn't wear. And I thought, I know what I'm going to do with these pants. I'll buy those. He says, no, it's got to cost you. So I bought them. I thought, during the week, I'll wear those pants because I'll get some use out of them. Because I know what the Lord would have me to do. He says, no, it's got to cost you. See, the problem is I don't spend enough time on my knees. But it's got to cost. It's got to cost you something. Fasting, praying, cost you time. It costs you something, but it's worth it. The time it takes to fast and pray and seek out God is what we need to be doing. I know this looks ridiculous, but I want to be more of a man of prayer. And I don't know what it's about. I want you to pray more. I want you to seek God more. And I think that's what God has for our church. See, it had to cost me something. When I make a date with my wife, it costs me something or time. If I had made time in Disneyland to give up a few rides, it would have cost me something. It would have cost me those rides. But the time spent with my friends, face-to-face, communing with them, would have been more worth the time than the cost of a pair of pants or the time that I spent on rides, because the rides come and go and that conversation would have been better. And the conversation with Jesus is so much more beneficial. So make a reservation with Jesus. Got one more? The question is, what do you want me to do for you? There's a story in the Bible about a blind man named Bartimaeus. And he's in a crowd. He's blind. And at that time, blind people were poor, dirty, stinky. Because he's blind, he can't take care of himself. And he's off in the corner, and here's the crowd coming around. And he says, what's going on? What's going on? Who's coming? What's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, Son of David. And people tried to quiet him down. And they told him to be quiet. And they pushed him away. And he yelled, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus beckoned him to come forward and got the disciples to come forward. See, he was bold enough to cry out in the crowd, even when he was being told to be quiet. Son of David, have mercy on me. And he came up to Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus knew that he was blind. He could tell by he was a beggar. He had torn clothes, and he smelled, and he was dirty because he was blind. He couldn't work. He goes, I want to see. I want to see. And Jesus says, I can't remember the exact words, but he says, your faith has healed you. And he healed him of his blindness. And the question is today, this Easter season, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? See, Jesus is beckoning for us to talk with him. And he wants to do things for us because he loves us. Just as a father wants to do stuff for his kids. And he's saying today, what do you want me to do for you? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. So if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we're going to have some people up here after the service to pray with you and to talk to you. If you've been in church for years and you're not sure that you're not saved or that you have doubts, there's going to be people up here talking to you. There's nothing worse than not knowing whether or not you're saved and going to heaven. The problem is what's worse than that is not doing anything about it. It's not doing anything about it. See, when I read the Bible now, I read things that'll say, you need to be bold. And I say, Lord, I'm not bold. How do I become bold? What do you want to do? I see people that get healed. And I say, Lord, would you use me for that? And so I go back and forth of being good and struggling and listening to his word and praying for people. I was able to pray for a lady young man in Disneyland that was sick that I just happened to be sitting next to. But there's been plenty of opportunities of doing those types of things, and we just need to be bold. So when you read the Bible, we need to read it for what it says. So Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? If you don't know 100% that you're not saved and going to heaven, you need to come talk to somebody. Because there's nothing worse than being separated from God. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you about something, you're free to shout it out. I'm very unconventional, no shoes, holes in my pants. If you're here to shout, Son of David, have mercy on me, and call out to God, you're free to do that. But there will be some people up here, and they'll stay as long as you need for prayer, for healing, emotional, physical, financial, whatever it is. This is the season that Jesus died for us, set us free, and he wants us to be set free. And we need to press in. So on that, I'll close and come forward as you feel led. Father, we just praise you and we thank you. We pray, Father God, that you would just touch us all and speak to us, Father. You know what we need, but there are times that we need to say, Lord, I want to see. I want to be set free. I want a closer relationship with you. I want to seek you out. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us all individually and that you would pour out your Spirit upon us as we leave this place. We want a closer walk with you, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.